Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Some actors and actresses fear typecasting. Because I almost always play a certain role, does that mean that that is the only role that producers and directors will offer to me in the future? I'll suggest that the same thing is true about the 23rd Psalm. King David's two-dimensional view of faith, faith in the now and then in the future, might be typecast as a funeral psalm. It is a major player in the order of Christian funeral that is in the front of our hymnal, Christian Worship. And rightfully so, the 23rd Psalm has comforted and consoled millions of Christians for thousands of years. Psalm 23 is so much more than a funeral psalm. It's a good wedding psalm. It's a good psalm used for confirmation. It's one of the go-to psalms when pastors make shut-in calls or visit the sick in the hospital. In fact, it's an occupational hazard for pastors not to begin to think, oh, I don't want to use the 23rd Psalm again. Maybe I can find something different. Maybe something better. What foolishness that is to cross your mind. And it's no secret that pastors have a hard time preaching on the 23rd Psalm. How do you improve on perfection? But I'll give it a try. The church has appointed Psalm 23 as the psalmody for Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Good choice. These simple and powerful words of King David, through the Holy Spirit, grant our comfort for all times and under all conditions. We'll see, first of all, that David remembers and recalls the mercy and loving kindness of God. And secondly, that this mercy and loving kindness makes us confident and consoled children of God, as John said in his epistle. What a blessing to be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The Old and New Testaments use the metaphor of the Good Shepherd for God, for Jehovah in general, and for the Savior in particular very often. The prophets Micah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, they all refer to Jehovah God as the Good Shepherd. In our gospel lesson this morning, we heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. St. Peter in his epistle said Jesus is the shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Martin Luther wrote, this metaphor is one of the most beautiful and comforting and yet most common of all in Scripture. When it compares His divine majesty with a pious, faithful, or, as Christ says, a good shepherd. In this psalm, King David, a repentant King David, recalls the mercy and loving kindness of God. A God who, through Nathan, had forgiven him his sins of murder and adultery. The 23rd Psalm is a very personal psalm of a repentant sinner who appreciates both sin and God's mercy and loving kindness. And so he uses that first person singular pronoun, my. David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Go ahead. Apply that first-person singular pronoun to yourself. Apply it to you Because the Lord is my shepherd, we all can say. We have received the mercy and loving kindness of God that has forgiven our sins of murder and adultery and all of our other transgressions of God's holy will. You and I appreciate the depth and the condemnation of our sins in our repentance, as did David. But we also trust that mercy and loving kindness of the Lord, the Good Shepherd who takes care of us, particularly in the forgiveness of our sins. And so we make the 23rd Psalm a very personal psalm for us. The Lord is my shepherd. That loving shepherd's mercy and loving kindness has made us the comforted and consoled children of God under all circumstances, under all conditions. David pictures these wonderful, specific blessings of God's mercy and loving kindness in that metaphor of the relationship between a good shepherd and the sheep. First of all, the good shepherd makes us lie down in these luscious, verdant, green pastures. There is a picture of all the blessings that God gives us for our good, both temporal and spiritual. The good shepherd leads us beside waters that are still and quiet, not roaring and foaming. This is our rest in Christ. This is our peace in Christ. This is that soundness we talked about last week, about shalom. The soundness, the health of our bodies and our minds and our spirits. As the Lord quiets things around us and quiets us, as a mother or father will quiet a fearful child, or as a good shepherd would quiet one of its frightened sheep. The Lord restores my soul. That is, He took me from being dead in my trespasses and sins, and has restored my soul to new life. And He did that by offering His life into death on the cross, under the guilt and punishment of my sins. And then God declared that sacrifice good for the world by raising His Son Jesus from the grave in new life, to restore our souls in that new life of Christ. Restored at the baptismal font when God took us out of sin and death and adopted us as the children of God. This is my new birth as a Christian and my continued life as a Christian through the preaching of the Word of Christ. The Good Shepherd leads us, His sheep, down the right paths. These are the narrow paths that lead to heaven. These aren't the broad highways that lead to hell. This is the narrow way of faith in Christ. It is walking the right path in our sanctification, not to get us to heaven, but to show that we are on the way of heaven. To not let anyone get us off of that path. As God strengthens us, the Spirit strengthens us through the means of grace. Now these narrow paths, these right paths that we walk into heaven, are sometimes mysterious. We don't always see how they're leading us to heaven. We don't always understand where quite we are on this path to heaven. But as we sing in the hymn, "Be still my soul, all now mysterious shall be bright at last." So in the end, God will brighten our knowledge, and we'll talk about this in a minute, to see how those right paths led to Him, to lead to our eternal homes. So the Good Shepherd takes perfect care of us. He gives us those blessings. He gives us that peace and that rest. He leads us on those right paths, narrow though they are, mysterious though they are at times, so that we don't lose our way going to Him. It's at this point in the psalm that some commentators change the picture just a little bit. And as I was studying this, I have a tendency to agree with them, although it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't change the meaning at all. Whether you think of a sheep wandering off those paths, walking through the valley of darkness, that's literally what that word means. It means the valley of darkness. Some commentators think that the picture of the sheep are continuing here, and the rod and the staff of the shepherd take care of them and support the sheep. But some other commentators think that the picture changes here more to a wanderer, a person who's traveling a path and is getting lost and is growing weak and fearful and needs support. And the Good Shepherd hands that wanderer his staff. The rod and the staff are really the same thing. And hands that staff to the wanderer to give him support, like you would use a walking stick for strength when you're out hiking. But in either case, the picture is very clear that God provides us with the shepherd's staff to give us strength and support when we grow weak. And that staff is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That staff is Christ. That staff is the word and the sacraments that give us that support, that give us that fortification for our faith that we need as we walk on those right paths through the valley of darkness. And the darkness here really includes all of the heartache, all of the difficulties, disappointments, sufferings, corrections that God brings into our lives. It certainly includes the inevitability of death. And so it's proper there to translate that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's really a picture of walking through many, many more evils as we travel in this life. But no matter what those evils are, no matter what those difficulties are, even including death, there's no reason to fear, because we have Christ. We have the gospel in word and sacrament to strengthen our faith, to fortify us and strengthen us so that we can continue our journey, that we can continue our walk, so that we don't fall by the wayside, so that we don't collapse in despair or fear or uncertainty along the way. Where are we headed? Through this valley of darkness, through this valley of death, supporting ourselves as a wanderer, or having the shepherd support us as a wayward sheep. We're on the way to the house of the Lord forever. And here is where King David takes that two-dimensional view of faith. With one foot in the now, as we journey, and the other foot in the then, in the future, when we will achieve our goal, when we will reach the destination of our faith. You and I are headed through this valley of death to the banquet of eternal and perfect righteousness and glory at the wedding feast of another Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when we're seated at that table, David says, our enemies won't be able to get to us. They'll be like, you know, you're sitting on one side of a glass in a restaurant, and out on the street, there are people looking in, but they're not in. That's the way it'll be in this picture. You and I will be seated at that wedding feast, at that banquet of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, in the presence of our enemies. They won't be part of this. They'll be excluded because of their unbelief. They'll be on the outside looking in and not sharing in the good things that we are enjoying. We finally will be safe from the devil. We'll finally be safe from the unbelieving world around us. We'll finally be safe from the sinfulness of our flesh. As when our flesh rises from the dead on that last great day, the sinfulness of it, the old Adam, will be remaining behind, will be destroyed when Christ destroys the world in the final judgment. You know, it occurred to me as I was writing my sermon and thinking about the last time element of this psalm, that the expression, a person's final resting place, about right after death, is such a lie. It's such a wrong idea. Wherever we end up, our bodies for a while after we die, is by no stretch of the imagination my final resting place. My final resting place will be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. It'll be seated there in the presence of God with this table set before me, with my cup overflowing the brim, my being anointed with the oil. And this is not the oil that anointed prophets, priests, and kings to put them into office. This was an oil that they anointed brides and grooms with. It's the oil of gladness, the oil of celebration. We will be anointed with that oil when we get to heaven. Since our material glorified bodies will be living after judgment day in a material glorified earth, we need to be careful that we don't merely take David's words figuratively. We may actually be seated at a table in heaven enjoying good food, drinking from cups to the overflowing. Not because we need to, but as a sign of now being in glory. Think back to our sermon about Easter, where Jesus appeared and he ate some fish and some honeycomb. And remember I mentioned St. Augustine? He said he didn't do that out of necessity, but he did it to show that he was really there in his glory. So it may very well be in heaven that we will literally eat and drink, not because we need to, but all part of the glory and the pleasure that we will enjoy in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is the broad Christian worldview of the two kingdoms we inhabit. We inhabit the now as we journey through this world, and we will inhabit the then as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever in the presence of God. The walk is our current reality. Dwelling in the Lord's house is our future expectation. But in both places, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Amen.